I shall speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may be seated. His name is Nelson, Dr. Nelson, our homiletics professor at Gettysburg Lutheran, my theological seminary, like to describe two kinds of preaching, two sorts of sermons, two types. Kerygma is a sermon that proclaims Christ crucified, Christ is risen, Jesus saves. As a worshiping congregation, we proclaim the mystery of faith in our Eucharistic prayer, A, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That's a kerygmatic acclamation that might well have come from the very mouth of St. Paul himself. Kerygma is the church's proclamation of Christ and his saving grace, which is indeed, after all, the central purpose of our four Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, to proclaim Christ. Didache is teaching, a teaching sermon, or any teaching. The catechism in our Book of Common Prayer is didactic. It is a teaching in question and answer format, and we've done that here in worship any number of times. And if I stand here and tell you about the gospel according to Mark and Mark's agenda, that would be didache, a teaching, a didactic sermon. And guess what? That is what I have in mind to do just for a few minutes, to learn about Mark. Not to learn Mark, but to learn about Mark, his gospel, which is his proclamation of Jesus Christ, and his agenda, Mark's agenda. So if you stay awake for the next few minutes, you may learn something. Now, agenda, by the way, is not a dirty word that means Mark has a sleazy scheme for putting one over on us. Agenda is simply like the term modern Bible criticism, which can be offensive if you don't understand it. Agenda is a literary term that focuses on what Mark intends to convey to his audience and how he does it, and to me, most clearly, in Mark's case, what he hopes that those who read and hear his gospel will do about it. Mark wants to stir in you a strong reaction, a strong response to his gospel. So then this is a didactic homily about the gospel according to Mark. And anyone who's been in my Sunday school class or in my Tuesday morning Bible seminar with me has an idea of what I'm going to say, because it's one of my favorite themes. Mark has an agenda. He has a gospel. Gospel is a good spell, good news. He has a gospel to proclaim. And as an evangelist, Mark means to have some solid response from you. This pericope, this little Bible story that we read this morning, this little snippet from Mark that's our gospel lesson for today, is the beginning of Mark setting up his agenda. And you heard it as I read it, and you have it in your hands. If you want to read it again as I talk, you might do so. In the synagogue at Capernaum, Jesus casts out a demon, an unclean spirit. He's setting the stage for his entire gospel, and this is the very first thing that Mark reports Jesus doing, his very first act of ministry. And for Mark, the important thing to notice in the story is not to marvel that Jesus is a miracle worker who can cast out demons, which Mark will develop that as his gospel goes along, but three things that Mark hopes you will notice in this story. And the first one is that the demon knows who Jesus is. The demon knows who Jesus is. And this will be the case again and again in Mark's story. The demons know that Jesus is the Son of God. Nobody else knows. The second thing is what scholars call the Markan secret or the Messianic secret. And that is that Jesus shushes them, orders them not to tell who he is. And this also will be the case again and again in Mark's gospel, not only with the demons, but also with almost everyone Jesus heals. Be quiet about who I am to the demons. Be quiet about what I've done for you to those he heals. Why? Scholars have for nearly 2,000 years been arguing about the messianic secret, whether it comes from Mark or comes from Jesus or even indeed comes from the early church. And what is the reason for it? And nobody truly knows. Nobody knows. No scholar can explain totally and confidently what this Markan secret is about. You can speculate all you want, and anything you think or say about the messianic secret is ground that has already been covered. It's a field that has been plowed numerous hundreds of thousands of times since Mark first wrote his gospel. Anyway, the first instance of the messianic secret showing up is in this morning's gospel reading. Jesus rebukes the demon. Be silent. If you never noticed, then start noticing, because almost everything that appears in a gospel reading, every detail is significant in some way. The third element in Mark's agenda also begins to show up right here up front in chapter 1 in Jesus' very first act of ministry, and it is that those around Jesus have no idea who he is. They have no idea. And they never, ever figure it out. Never. All the way through Mark's gospel, those who are closest to him, even his disciples, four of whom, Peter and Andrew, James and John, he's already called by the time this first little story about the demon happens. Even the disciples, the 12 apostles, even Mary Magdalene, and all those women who love and follow Jesus, never see who Jesus is. They never understand. They never get it. That's part of Mark's agenda, and to make sure that you do get it. Mark's an evangelist, and his agenda throughout his gospel is evangelical, to proclaim Christ and to show you that even though you get it, you understand who Jesus is, because it's obvious, it's been made clear to us. For one thing, because Mark tells you, and he tells the church right up front, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nobody inside the story understands. So who knows then? Who knows who and what Jesus is? God knows. Mark knows. Mark the evangelist knows. Otherwise, he would not be writing and telling the story. You know. You know because Mark tells you right up front. Remember, I just said it. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus knows, and Mark makes sure that we know Jesus knows by the way Mark describes Jesus' baptism and a voice from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so Jesus knows, and the demons know. Nobody else knows who Jesus is. Mark's agenda is to develop in his audience of 2,000 years ago and in you, the reader and hearer of his gospel this morning, the realization, the sharp realization that nobody around Jesus sees, understands, perceives who Jesus is and what he is. And when Mark is done, his agenda climaxes in your frustration that everybody inside the story is so dense, so thick, not to say so stupid. So listen to how Mark develops this ingenious agenda. I have a couple of examples. We read this morning from chapter 1, Mark chapter 4. One evening, Jesus is out in a boat with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and a violent storm comes up. Fierce wind, towering waves. The boat's being swamped, and it's about to sink. And the disciples are terrified, and they look around for Jesus, and there he is, asleep in the stern with his head on a cushion and sound asleep, sleeping peacefully. And they shake him and wake him up. "Lord, we're fixing to drown. Aren't you scared? Don't you even care?" And Jesus gets up and he looks around at the storm and he shouts out, "Siopa pevimoso," silence, be still. And instantly the wind and sea go calm. And the disciples are terrified of him. And they say, "Who is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Mark wants you to see not so much that Jesus is in control of nature. You wouldn't be surprised by that from the Son of God. But he wants you to see that his disciples do not understand who this man is that they have chosen to follow. Mark chapter 8, right after Jesus feeds 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two small fish, he walks out on the water toward the boat where the disciples are, and they don't understand who he is. They are terrified. They think it's a phantom, a ghost. They just don't get it. Mark chapter 8, right after Dunamis, the work of power where he feeds 4,000 people with seven loaves of bread. The disciples are out on a boat, and this time had Jesus along with them. And Jesus hears them bemoaning that they forgot to bring along anything to eat. They don't have any bread. All they have in the boat is one little loaf of bread for the whole group of disciples. Jesus is frustrated. He is astonished with them. And he says, "Why, with me out here in the boat with you, are you worried about having only one loaf of bread? Didn't you just see me feed 5,000 people with practically nothing? And how many baskets of food were left over?" And the disciples say, 12. And Jesus says, "When I fed the 4,000, how many were left over? How many baskets?" And these dense disciples say, 7. And Jesus says, "Don't you get it? Don't you understand anything? Anything?" And they shake their heads. They do not get it. Jiminy Christmas. How dense can they get? It happens again and again in Mark's gospel, Mark recording stories, incidents, little occasions that have come to him, things that have happened to show you that nobody around Jesus realizes who he is. From beginning to end of Mark's gospel, nobody understands Jesus. Again, God knows, Mark knows, you and I know, Jesus knows, and the demons know, which is why Mark tells this opening story today. And finally, at the very end of Mark's gospel, an astonishing thing happens. A Gentile, an outsider, the Roman centurion in charge of the detail of crucifying Jesus, realizes who he is. And he says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Jesus is taken down from the cross and buried, and that was Good Friday, as we call it. And then on the third day, Sunday morning, several women who loved Jesus go to the tomb to anoint his body with oils and fragrances and spices, but the tomb is empty. And there's a young man there, an angel, who tells them that Jesus has risen from the dead and will meet them in Galilee. And even then, the women do not realize who Jesus is. They are so terrified. The gospel says that they run away and they don't say nothing to nobody. And that's the absolute bitter end of the gospel as Mark tells it. That's the climax. That's Mark's gotcha. Mark's agenda is that you and everyone who hears and reads his proclamation will be so frustrated that nobody in the story could see who Jesus was when it was so clear to us, it was so obvious. You will be so frustrated that you immediately jump up and rush out to proclaim Christ as Lord and Savior. Mark's gospel is evangelical. It's good news, and it calls you, to proclaim Christ. You understand?